God bless you, brothers and sisters. Good to see each one of you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we all stand as we approach the Lord in prayer this morning? Amen. We'll ask Brother Levi if he would lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning.
Heavenly Father, dear God, we just thank you for allowing us to gather here this morning, dear God. We just ask that you would speak to our hearts, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
We just ask, Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, that you would bless us with the word of life that's about to come forth, dear God. We ask all these things in that precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn, if we can, to our Bibles to Revelations chapter 3. Revelations chapter 3, starting with verse 20. Book of Revelations, chapter 3, verse 20, right at the end of the Laodicean church age. The scripture reads, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Amen. Lord, add his blessing to his word. Please be seated. Amen. What better place there is to be than the house of the Lord Amen. And the fellowship around his word. Amen. So that's what we're here for, hear from him. Amen. So this will be right now my last Sunday school lesson on this topic, I believe. So the subject again is on the Godhead and on the Father, specifically on the Father. So we try to round out that topic here. And so last time that we were talking about the scriptures in John about how Jesus said the Father showed him what to do. And then we talked that out and branched it to us about how God was showing us what the Father was thinking by the demonstration of a life. And so we brought that down through Jesus Christ, the demonstration of the life through the man Jesus Christ when he was on earth, but also in this day and age through a prophet that was able to show us all the details of what God was thinking in his mind through his life, through the personal details of how a prophet lived that life. And we know that God worked through this man to demonstrate Jesus Christ in this day. Amen. So not worshiping again the flesh, but the God in the man. The man taken away and set aside, and so we could see Jesus Christ reflecting himself through a vessel, which was what God's objective was. That was the second fold piece of what he wanted to do, was express himself through man and have the preeminence. And so that's what we talked about last time, and so there's a few other subjects. This is an inexhaustible subject, but by God's grace, we'll hit a few other areas this morning. So when we look at, if we can turn to 1 John chapter 2, reading that scripture, verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, and says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Amen. And so, trying to understand the nature of the Father and his attributes, and so he makes this big contrast between the Father and the world. And so, if anything of the world is not of the Father, so there's a big contrast. Amen. And so then he further breaks that down and says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. So Now we'd like to try to drill down on those different pieces, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. For if we can see it a little bit more clearly, then we can avoid those things and stay in the Father. Because remember, it's just a translation of that same Spirit down through the different levels, if you understand. So God translating that to Christ, Christ translating that into the different messengers, and then on down to the sons of God. And then we as fathers can also portray that in our family. As pastors, Brother Mike being one, that he would translate those attributes to the congregation. And so you can see that that whole life flowing down, it's all one life, but working through flesh all the time, or working through material all the time. So, and I heard Brother Marcel kind of bring this up last week when we were having our brothers' meeting, but he was likening to the message to a magnifying glass on the Word. So, you know, we take the Word of God as far as the Bible goes, and the message kind of makes a magnifying glass and brings out a lot more detail for us, right? But it's the same Word, right? So I thought that was a good analogy. Amen. Now, when we talk about these things, I'd like to first break down this part of pride. And so this is obstacle. This is part of the world. And so we know just in plain scriptures that God wants us to be humble, right? And so we know pride is the opposite of that. But I just want to try to break down that definition a little bit more. Pride. So when you break down the Greek word pride, it says haughtiness, arrogance. The character of one who with a swollen estimate of his own powers or merits looks down on others and even treats them with insolence and contempt. So this part kind of brings it out, swollen estimate of his own powers or merits. So thinking they have more than they actually do. So then looking down on others and treats them with insolence and contempt. So thinking more than you have more than what you actually have and looking down. Now this other word that's related to pride, boasting. So in the definition it says an insolent and empty assurance would trust in its own power and resources. So we know that the Christian trusts in the power of God solely, not in its own power. So when we're trusting in our own power, then look out, right? We're going into that worldly side. We're going into pride. So we've got to trust in a greater power than us. And so when we recognize and realize that, that makes us humble inside. And so when we have our own holiness, so we obey the scriptures by our own ability, our own might, through the flesh, then that builds pride. But when we leave God as number one and yield ourselves to Him, acknowledging that anything that happens to us is by His grace, then we become humble. Now, in the scripture, Proverbs 8:13, I'm just going to read a few scriptures here. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So again, reiterating how God feels about this pride. Only by pride cometh contention. And so when you're discussing things and maybe you have a little different view from somebody else, you disagree, if you are in the flesh or if you have pride, then you're going to get upset when you're challenged, right? Or even more so when you're proven that the argument that you have is wrong. And so you see that in the world. And, you know, it can happen in the church with brothers and sisters. And it's because we tend to get in the flesh. Or, you know, everybody's at a different maturity level. So higher maturity, then we begin to have more rulership over this flesh. But the younger that we are, then we have less rulership. And so that can happen. Still same people, I mean, same Holy Ghost, different maturity levels. Or, you know, as Brother Mike was saying about the black dog and the white dog, we fed the black dog more. And so in that particular situation, then we have gotten in the flesh more. We have the Holy Ghost, but we fed the black dog more. And so now we're more able to get upset easily. Are we all together? Amen. Not condemned, but it's just showing the difference between this flesh and the spirit man that lives within inside of us. Mark 7:20, and he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." Amen. 1 Timothy 6:1, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings." So when you're talking and then you bring forth the word, now we've got to bring forth in the right spirit, but you bring forth the word and it's sound and it's right on the money, and then somebody has a problem with that, they don't want to take it, saying they're proud. They're knowing nothing but doting about questions. So you know that when, even with children, when you're dealing with them sometimes and you bring to them what's right, and so they're in the flesh, of course, and they have a hard time taking it. And so they'll have a tantrum, they'll, you know, argue it, they'll, you know, how many have seen that with children? Okay. Amen. Definitely seen it in my, I won't say who, but I've seen it, of course, definitely. I've been that way, of course. We've all been that way as children. Amen. So in the Believest Thou This, Brother Branham talks about this subject. He says, "That's what's the matter with the church today. Got too starchy, too much pride. Let down, you're in 6 foot of dirt anyhow." So realizing who we actually are, 6 feet of dirt is not much, is it? Now, with Christ in there, it's a different story, but if you're just talking about the flesh, 6 feet of dirt. That's right. God has souls, got to meet God someday. That's what's the matter with our Pentecostal church and other holiness churches. They get up to pride. They get a good church and a nice place and think we want to pattern after the world. And so don't think that we are not susceptible to that. So we can get situated, we'll get a nice place, get a nice congregation, everything going well, then we'll get starchy, so we got to watch that. That's where God's people always got in trouble, when they patterned after the rest of them. Here's our pattern, hallelujah, the matching time. Are you willing tonight to die out to yourself? Are you willing to die out to all thoughts of yourself? Just lay on the rock with your lamb there and die out. Say, "Oh God, have mercy." When I think of men and women who think of pride, young men and women who will give their lives over to things, and men of age too, thinking of their job and of their prestige and of their neighborhood. So these are things that pull on us, right? Because a natural part of a man wants to move up. They want to have a better position. They want to be in a better position in society. They want to make more money. They want to, you know, have a nice house, they want to have a nice car. We've got to be careful of those things, because the number one needs to be Jesus Christ, and everything else, if it comes, let it happen. So he talks about this, about Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, she knew his power. She knew there was something about him, Jesus Christ, was different from anyone else. She had 7 devils cast out of her. So she had 7 devils cast out of her, pride and envy. And she thought she was so pretty, and there was no one like her. But when Jesus spoke and said, "Be thou clean," all that left her. She became a new person. She wasn't so pretty anymore in her own sight. But she wrapped herself in the robe of meekness and gentleness and followed the Master. She loved him. Then on Easter morning, I can see her. So you can see that these 7 spirits, they are all working on us. So which one of these spirits are we dealing with, right? Which one of these spirits are still clinging to us? But the Lord Jesus casts those out, but these are all typical to men. Women, can you identify with that spirit? Amen. Men, can you identify with those? Now look at Cain. He come with sincerity. But look in the background. His daddy, the devil, who he is, he was influenced by his daddy. The reason in heaven, when he was up there, he set up a kingdom more beautiful, more elaborate, pretty than what Michael's was. He tried to get a greater kingdom. That's why he was kicked out. Pride and beauty. So women are susceptible for the beauty part. I know all of us are susceptible to the pride part. But thinking he could build something better and greater. How many of you all are susceptible to that? It goes through the mind, right? But the thing is to divide what's going through your mind and who you actually are. Because when you get those thoughts in your mind, then you can think, oh, I'm just messed up. You know, why am I thinking that way? And you just get down on yourself and you feel condemned. But that's thoughts coming into your mind. And you can't control always those thoughts that are coming into your mind. But what you can do is when those thoughts come in, you can try to repel those things out. And how do we fight that is by the Word of God. So thinking and pondering upon the Word of God. So that's why God wants us to read the Word, pray every day, to think on Him so that those things are foremost in our mind. And so when the thoughts come that are contrary, then we bring the Word and it pushes it out. The scripture says, resist the devil and he shall flee. And so when you resist the devil, it's God's promise that the devil's going to leave. So when those thoughts come in, that's not my thoughts. That's the spirit of the devil. That's my flesh. I'm going to push it out in the name of Jesus Christ. That is not me. I have the Holy Ghost. I am a child of God. And when the Spirit of God is according to 1 John, a child of God, when he's born of the Spirit of God, that seed remains in him. And he cannot sin in the soul. Do we understand? So that's a different person than who I am inside here. So he said, kicked out, pride, beauty, stuck up. And when he come here, there was a nature of him right in his boy. And it hasn't died yet. That's right. Talking about Cain. Oh, big church, say I belong to the biggest church in town. That don't mean a thing, not a thing. So when we look at our church and we say, wow, we're getting a lot of people. Let's get more people. Be careful. And we're going to get another building and a nice building. Be careful. Remember how the early church was. They were focused on Christ and the power of God. They weren't looking at those material things. Oh, pride, such a cursed thing, so awful. There was actual message on pride preached in 1955. And he's talking about the different aspects of pride. We won't be able to go into it. But if you can listen to that message or read that message, go ahead and do so. But he talks about how bad it is, and he brings that out with Simon, the Pharisee, and the situation at his house. Now he says this, moving on to the lust of the flesh, did we get that one as far as the pride? So try to lay a few things in there, and by God's grace, you can study that, pray on it a little bit. But lust of the flesh, 1959, where has thy strength gone, Samson? Brother Bram says this, but in the Garden of Eden, the devil chose a man's head, God, his heart. And now the devil comes into the intellectuals and has brought his religion to intellectual. You know, never know God intellectually. You've got to know him by a new birth, being born again, which comes from the heart. So we can learn all we can, but it can't come from here. It's got to come through here. And from here is where it comes, the revelation and the reality of the Word. The pride of life, the lust of the flesh, what the eye can see. But when God comes in, he comes into a man's heart and makes him believe things by faith that his eyes cannot see. So all those things of the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, they're opposite of faith. And faith goes with the sixth sense, which you cannot see or sense. Now in Laodicean church age, the man makes these comments here. Now, what are we to overcome? And he talks about the emphasis about not what are we to overcome, but how we are to overcome. Now, this is logical, for it does matter much what we are to overcome as long as we know how we can overcome. A quick look at those scriptures which involves the Lord Jesus overcoming will bring out the truth of this opposition. In Matthew 4, wherein Jesus is tempted of the devil, he overcame the personal temptations of Satan by the Word. and by the word only, in each of the three major trials that corresponded exactly to the temptation of the Garden of Eden. So you look at what Eve fell by and look how she failed, and the same ones is what Jesus faced in the desert. Those three temptations, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. Jesus overcame by the word. Eve fell to the personal temptation of Satan by failing to use the word. Adam fell in direct disobedience to the word, but Jesus overcame by the word. And right now, let me say that this is the only way to be an overcomer. Also, is the only way that you can know if you're overcoming, because that word can't fail. So these temptations run to us every day. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. So Eve, pride of life, I can be wiser than my husband. I can know more. He probably doesn't know this. There it is, pride of life. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. We know that this flesh, you know, it wants certain things. And we know what happened in the Garden of Eden as far as Brother Branham makes a statement. He says that Eve said, you know, look at that that beast there, such a manly beast. And so he looked very beautiful to the eyes. And so she had an understanding of what this was. And we all, I believe we understand what that was. And then there was a fleshly temptation there. And so she fell by all of those. But Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. He was tempted with pride. He can have all these kingdoms of the world. But that was not according to the word. But Jesus was told that he would have power. But later, in God's timing. And so also the saints of God will have power. But only into God's timing and God's process. Right? And so we want to jump that timing just like Eve does, and we get into trouble. And so we want to jump the gun. That's why Brother Branham talks about, you know, he talks about people, talk about being called to the ministry. And some people said, I want to do this for you. I want to move mountains for you. And so he says that's not the right kind of attitude, because they can't even move themselves out of the way. But he says, he talks about how those who are truly who God wants in the ministry, they try to run away from it, right? He talks about how Moses tried to run away from it. David was not seeking to be king, but God looked at his heart and knew what kind of heart it was, and therefore he raised him up. And so, you know, those who are trying to push their way, there's something wrong there, right? So he talks about these three different areas. Now I'm going to try to move on from this point and from that scripture. So lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. I'm only going to read a few more definitions of what those were in the scripture. Lust, desire, craving, longing, desire for what is forbidden. Lust, the flesh. Now it brings, in the Greek, brings up this definition. The sensuous nature of man, the animal nature, without any suggestion of depravity. The animal nature with cravings which incite to sin. So I think we can understand when there's a pull, there's a desire that doesn't seem right, and it's all trying to satisfy this, then we know it's the lust of the flesh. And the lust of the eyes is a desire to see certain things and can't be satisfied with it. Scripture talks about the eyes that can never be satisfied. And we know that, you know, sometimes that can be, you know, material things. I see those things. I see this nice collection item, this nice dress, nice furniture, nice house, nice material thing, whatever it is, and it pulls on us. We've got to watch that. That's worldliness there, you know. And for men, they have to deal with the lust of the eyes of women. And so that is another, and you see that men that fall into that and pornography and different things, they're not satisfied. It keeps pulling them in, right? So all those things that lead to satisfying the eyes and the flesh, that's worldliness and pride. Amen. Are we all together on that? Okay. Now we'll switch subjects here. And I only have a little bit of time. So I'm going to hit these fairly quickly, if we can just kind of, if you want to jot them down or whatever, so you can study them later. Now he says this in 1 John 1:3. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And so we are abiding in the Father and the Son. We must abide in that manner. 1 Peter 1:17, "For if we call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." And so the nature of the Father is always to be fair and impartial, not respecting different people that are closer to Him or have a better status in society or different culture or different things. So we're all equal in God's eyes. He all loves His children the same. Amen. 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 Doesn't matter what position you are in the kingdom of God. And so Hebrews 12:5, and so I'm going to read through these fairly quickly. Hebrews 12:5, and he says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him." Thinking about the Father again. "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." Amen. So welcome the chastening. Amen. "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subject unto the Father of spirits and live?" I'm going to read something here that's going to, you know, kind of drive this in a little bit more. "For they verily for a few days chastened us, after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness." And so maybe there are fathers that we've had, or we've seen fathers that did things because of their own pleasure to satisfy their own desire, whatever. When we say that, say, "Oh, be quiet, shut up," you know, that's the satisfying their desire because they want peace and quiet, but it may not have been the right way. But when you have the right spirit, because the Spirit of God that we might, for our benefit. Now I'm going to read here a few things to kind of bring that out. So in Laodicean Church Age, he says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." To rebuke is to reprove. Rebuke is to reprove. To reprove is to expose with a view of correction. Chasten does not mean to punish. It means to discipline because a subject's amendment is in mind. So He's looking for our good. He's looking for a change for us. That's why He's trying to discipline us, chasten us, rebuke us, because He wants us to become better than we are. And so remember, some of our fathers or some fathers, they may have dealt with children because of punishment in that way. But Jesus wants to do this for our growth. Do you understand? And so when we go through pain, it may seem very difficult. And the scripture says grievous for a period of time. But in the end, it brings a peaceable fruit of righteousness. So it's going to bring something in the end. So now, take for example, so, you know, your training, I'll just bring a real example because I'm doing this right now. My daughter's going to laugh. But, you know, in the military, we train with running. And we've got to run at a certain speed. And the older I get, it's a lot harder, you know, because the muscles don't respond as well, and the bones are aching. And running, it's, you know, it's hard on your knees and your hips and different things. I know young guys, doesn't matter to you guys, but just wait, it will. So now, you know, every year, you know, I take this PT test, and I got to just get ready for it. So, you know, I like to run at just like a normal pace, but they require you to run a short distance at a very fast pace. So you got to do sprints and different things. And so, you know, having the family, I got to get up early in the morning so I get it done, because if I wait till after work because the family pulls and everything, I'm not going to get it done. So I got to get up early in the morning and run. And every morning it's like, I don't want to do this, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to beat myself up, you know, for 30 minutes to an hour, and I'm going to be in pain for the rest of the day. But at the same time, I know that a day or so from now, I'm going to be faster, because when your muscles tear and you let it rest, then it builds itself up. We all know that, and you become stronger and faster. That's those of us who have done physical fitness, you know how that works. But somebody who's in the prisoner of war camp and he's being beaten down all the time. He's going through similar types of pain, but it's not for an end for building. It's for an end for just beating down and for punishment. So you see pain on both sides, but this one is for our good. Amen. And so now when we look at how God deals with us, that pain that we go through, how difficult it is, because it says grievous in the scriptures, grievous. And so it is not fun. It is difficult, and we're going to complain about it. That's just the human nature. It's going to be hard. But in the end, because God has love in mind, it's going to change us and make us into a better person. It's going to make us and mold us into the image of Him. And so that is the love of a father. And so us as parents, that's the same attitude, mentality, and spirit by which we train our children. So they may not like it, and we may not see it many times when God deals with us, right? But God knows the end from the beginning. And so us as parents, we see a little bit further, and so we deal with them in that manner. Now, too long on that subject. Okay, herein is now set forth the love of God. He desired in love a family of his own, a family of sons, sons like himself. Therefore, there before him lies all mankind as one lump of clay. Out of that same lump, he will now make vessels unto honor and unto dishonor. The choosing will be his own choosing. Then those chosen ones, born of his spirit, will be trained to conform to his image in their walk. He reproves with all longsuffering and gentleness and mercy. He chastens with nail-scarred hands. Sometimes this potter must take the vessel he is working and thoroughly break it down. How many has felt broken down before? I have. Amen. In order that he may rebuild it exactly as he desires it. He's a builder, right? Building takes time. Building is takes a lot longer than tearing down. So just keep in mind that when we're building, whether we're dealing with our children or we're just trying to see how God is dealing with us, it takes time. It takes time. I mean, when you look at a plant and it's growing, it's not growing overnight. It takes time for it to develop and things. And so for us to build into the character of Christ, it takes time. But it is love. That is his love. Another way of his love, there is not, there cannot be. Okay, I'm going to move on here to our last area. So, Philippians 2:19. By trust in the Lord Jesus, Paul says, to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your estate. Talking about the Father again. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your sake, for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him that as a son with the Father, he had served with me in the gospel. So Paul is bringing this example of Timotheus. And so we know that Paul and Timotheus, they had a great relationship. And so Paul talks about Timothy being like a son to him. And so when you look at the scriptures, he's saying, like-minded, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your estate. So he sends Timothy like he's sending him his own self because he knows he's got the same like-mindedness. He's got the same spirit, and he trusts that he'll do the same things that he would. So it's just like Jesus or God sending Jesus Christ down on the earth. He trusted Jesus because he knew he had the same mind, and so he could trust him to do what he asked him to do. Now, there's other examples, and we won't be able to drill down to all of them, but if you look in the scriptures and you can see that how Moses, when he was going forth in his ministry, and who was by his side? It was Joshua. And Joshua was Moses' minister, as the scripture said in Exodus 24:13, Joshua 1:1. But he was right there by his side. And when he was there by his side, he was not only helping him, but he was seeing how he did things. He could see how he was handling certain situations. And no doubt, probably he was able to share with Joshua what he was thinking and what he was dealing with and different things. And so by Joshua being right there, then he began to see the intent of God, the mind of God through Moses. And so Therefore, it's no mystery that when Moses began to pass off the scene, then Joshua stepped in. And so he had a different type of ministry, same spirit though. And so each one of us has a different role in the body of Christ, same spirit, but different role because of our position. And so then you look in also Elijah and Elisha. And so remember in the scriptures, 1 Kings 19, 19 through 21 or so, but when Elisha was there, he was just sitting there yoking the ox and different things and working on this farmland. And then Elisha comes by and throws a mantle, and then he knows that he's going to follow Elijah. Elisha does. And so he drops everything. He leaves father and mother, and then he goes after him.
Amen.
And so as he's beginning to follow him, then he's staying right with him. And we know that right up to the end where there was a rapture of Elijah, that Elisha was right there with him. And so then he kept his eyes focused on him. We know the story. And so he crossed over Jordan. He did everything that he did. And so by doing that, he had the same ministry as Elijah,
Amen.
Right? And so the same works that Elijah did, Elisha did. And so, and greater works. And Elisha representing the bride of Christ, looking at Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so by following every move and watching everything, then she began to understand the mind of Christ.
Amen.
And then began to take on Christ and began to fulfill the same type of ministry. It's talking about the father to the sonship. And so when we look and we see that, you know, God used a man and translated all of that into that vessel so that he could show us that same person in this our day. That's why it was recorded on so many different tapes, 1,200 tapes or so, so many different books, so many testimonies and all these different things, so that we would catch it, right? And so that same spirit, that same mind, he is looking for us to catch it now. Do you understand? And so in the scriptures in Matthew 28:19, it says, "Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." When you look at that word teach, it means to disciple. And so remember when Jesus was on this earth, that the disciples, he called them to him and they stayed with him. And they got to see everything that he was doing. They got to see his example, and he began to talk to them and tell them what he was thinking and all the mysteries that was going on with the parables that he was talking about, right? And so 3 years they were doing this. And so what was Jesus leading them to? He was leading them to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? And so he was laying the foundation, just like Jesus is doing with you and I, as before we receive that baptism of the Holy Ghost, he's teaching us and laying that word and that foundation. And remember, he was watching for the disciples, whether they would obey him or not, right? Whether they would take that whole word. And so as they were taking that word, then he was leading them closer and closer and giving them more and more truth. Then he began to give them hard truths, right? And then up to the time he said, I'm going to go be crucified and then raised 3 days later. And then, you know, some of them misunderstood and they had a lot of questions and things, but they still hung in there because they were predestinated to that and they went all the way. But he was trying and testing Judas. And Judas did not make it through because he did not have representation there. But he was trying them through the word, and then he led them to the Holy Ghost. And so when we look at also, I wrote this down that if you had heard the testimony of Perry Green, how many has heard the testimony of Perry Green? And so when you look in the message of the hour and sometimes Perry Green, he had a personal experience, and he got to see and expound on the things that we read or listen to by a very life. And you can see that the prophet was mentoring him. He was discipling him. You know, for some reason, he chose him and began to tell him a lot of different things of what was going on. And so, you know, the last few years of his life, he was trying to impart all these different things. Things that he didn't tell anybody else. But what was he doing? He was discipling him, right?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now, there's a few more things in here. So when we look at what God is trying to do, he's trying to create sons and daughters of God in his image.
Amen.
Now in the scriptures it says Jesus, God's charge in the beginning in the book of Genesis was multiply and replenish the earth, right? Amen. And so the children of God were to multiply and replenish the earth. And we know that the birth and the multiplication through the carnal nature, that was not the original plan. That was not the perfect will of God, but God wanted the children of God to come through the spoken word. And so when we look at this, remember, Brother Brand would talk about how Billy Graham would have these great crusades and 20,000, 30,000 would make a decision. And then, then he'd come back later, 6 months later, he couldn't find 20 or 30. And he talked about how because Billy Graham brought him up to a certain point. But you can see that Paul, the contrast, he would bring them up through that they could receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He says this. He talks about this. He says, Paul went into a city and preached the gospel, and one man was converted. He went back a year later and said he had 30 converts from that one. Said, I'll go into a city and stay 6 weeks and have 20,000, talking about Billy Graham. Come back in another 6 months and I can't find 20. He said, what's the matter? This is Brother Billy Graham saying, it's you lazy preachers, he said. Said with your feet on the desk instead of going out and visit them. Now the evangelist had something there, but he didn't have all of it. Who was the one taken, that one for Paul? Paul took him deep enough in Christ until he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Then was burning, so he'd set the whole town afire. But when you ask them to stand and accept Christ as Savior and sit back down, they haven't went deep enough to know what to do. You must take them on into the baptism of the Spirit. Paul took that decision, stayed there with it until he cut it into the form of Jesus Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So we all together there. So when Jesus, serving the model, he discipled them till they received that. Paul doing that same model. And so us, as parents, with our children, bringing the word to them and leading them to that Holy Ghost. Discipling them, mentoring them, that's what we ought to be doing with our children. See, all these things, these characters of the Father, those are the characteristics that we ought to project in our homes. And so, lost my train of thought there, but he is looking for us to be doing this. So we, in the body of Christ, different ones that are coming to the Lord, we've got to be leading them. Amen. And discipling them. Amen. Young people, young converts that come into the body of Christ, we ought to get together with them. Amen. Share with them and talk with them and lead them to Christ. Amen. Which is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Feel that that's where I had to stop. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you for thy word. And Lord, help us to receive more of it, more of a revelation of it. Not something that we can pride ourselves in, but a deeper understanding of it, O Father. And to make it real to us, O Father. Lord Jesus, we're moving closer towards the end, but there are so many things that are still not done or left undone. We know in the scriptures that Joshua, when they moved into the land of Canaan, they were slaying the Canaanites and all the different inhabitants of the land, but then God told Joshua to tell them, why are you being slack to take the land? And so there's areas of the Word of God that we still need to embrace and fulfill that Word and let it become a reality. There's still lost ones out there. There's still the last seed. There's still things that we ought to do. There's still many different countries, believers, I know that I've not done what I'm supposed to do fully, O Lord. I know there's lots of growth for me, O Father. I know there's many things in the scriptures, in the message of the hour that I don't fully comprehend, or I don't have a revelation of, or I haven't taken it in and lived and applied that word out. Oh, Father, help me, dear Lord. Help each one of us, dear Lord Jesus. I don't want us to be satisfied with where we are at and saying that we're right up to the rapture. The rapture is imminent, but there's a long way for us to go in different areas of our life, oh Lord. And so we want to be diligent. We want to be watching. We want to be doing and doing the things, not sitting back, oh Father. Help us, dear Lord. Bless the service that we have coming, oh Lord. Jesus, the song service, the preaching of the word. Bless all those that are here, oh Father. Bless those that are not here. Make the word a reality to each one of us in your own special way. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.